This morning, I want to be speaking, and I've entitled my message, Prophetic Sound Waves. Really, I want to be speaking on prophetic worship. You know, I feel like God is just upping the ante of hunger in this house and deepening wells of worship in this place. And I want to be speaking on prophetic worship because we're not just created to worship. We're called to carry a prophetic sound, a spirit-inspired expression that goes beyond just singing songs. Amen. Such that it becomes a declaration of heaven's will here on earth. You know, earlier this morning as we're singing to the song, Jesus Be the Center, there was such a prophetic unction. Don't know if you felt it, you know, but as we were singing prophetically and doing the free worship, the lyrics just came into my heart. And I found myself singing, Jesus be the center, we build an altar here. Jesus be the center, we build an altar here. Jesus be the center, we build an altar here. You know, and as we sing prophetically, something shifts in the atmosphere. And prophetic worship attracts the presence of God. It is what releases heaven's atmosphere in our midst. And I pray that Cornerstone, together as an assembly of people, we will tap into prophetic worship, not just singing songs as a worship of adoration to the Lord, but that we begin to hear sounds from heaven, because there are frequencies in heaven. There are sound waves in heaven that we must catch in our spirit and release into earth's reality. That's prophetic worship. It's prophetic sound waves. You know, when we planted a church in Sarawak, the Lord gave me a template of a wineskin blueprint. And the Lord, you know, and we believed in this so much, we took Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 very literally. You know, print the vision on tablets, on walls, so that the people who read it might take it and run with it. And so we literally have it on our walls in our church in Miri. And this was the template of the wineskin that God gave to me. He said, my church will be known for my presence. My church will be known for my power and a people who knows how to take possession of her inheritance. Now, I would have been very satisfied with the three P's. Presence, power, possession. I could preach a Vision Sunday message. But then the Lord, in His grace, He gave me the tools to pull down His presence, to exemplify His power, and to activate an assembly of God into taking possession. The Lord said to me, you're going to pull down my presence through prophetic worship and intercession. You're going to exemplify my power through apostolic preaching. Not just teaching of some good word, not just a dry good message, a doctrinal theological message, but the kind of preaching like the Apostle Paul, who says that my word is not in the wisdom of man's intellect, but it is in the demonstration of the kingdom's life and power. Jeremiah says it this way, it's not my word like fire to the bones. It's not my word. God says it's not my word like wheat to the chaff. The word of God feeds. It's wheat unto us. He says, it's not my word like a hammer that breaks even the hardest of rocks, the hardest of places into pieces. What's that? It's apostolic preaching, the kind of preaching that convicts, the kind of preaching that cuts into hearts. He says, you're going to exemplify my power through apostolic preaching, and you're going to be a people who takes possession of the inheritance allotted to you by authentic evangelism and discipleship. Now, I've done evangelism. I've taught about discipleship earlier this year when we launched the Cell Resource. And today, I want to be speaking a little bit on prophetic worship, because again, it is what attracts and draws the presence of God. You see, when we worship prophetically, we don't just respond to what we see. We are actually proclaiming what God is saying. Prophetic sound waves. It's prophetic worship. Every believer, this is not just the job of the worship team, you understand. It is every believer's call to release prophetic sound waves. The kind of worship that transforms environments, that awakens hearts and invites the presence of God to move on our behalf. You know, it's like with sound, there is a certain pitch, a certain frequency that when you hit it, it can literally break glasses. Have you seen videos like that? You know, when they release a certain frequency of a pitch, It breaks glasses. It shatters glasses into pieces. And I do believe in the very same way, there are frequencies and heavenly sound waves in heaven that when released through us can break walls, can break barriers, can break chains of bondages, can break bars of iron. Prophetic worship carries with it the breaker's anointing. It releases a breaker's anointing in our midst. Things move, atmospheres shift, chains are broken in Jesus' name. You know, I look into the Bible and I realize there really are two things that God is seeking for. The Bible says that He seeks and saves those who are lost. So He's seeking for the lost. But do you know that God's also seeking for true worshipers? John chapter 4 says it this way, 23 and 24. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So let's first define what worship is before we go into prophetic worship. Now worship in the Hebrew word is the word shakar. And shakar means to bow down, to prostrate. The Greek word of worship is the word proskuneo, which means to come close and to kiss. Now, these words depict to me a measure of intimacy, a measure of closeness. You can't kiss someone who's far away, right? You've got to come close to a person to be able to kiss that person. In the same way, let me say this. Everybody can praise the Lord, but not everybody can truly worship. Because the fact of reality is this, you cannot actually worship someone you don't know. If there is no closeness, if there is no intimacy with the Lord, we don't know how to worship. You can't fake worship. And that's why it's my opinion that when you observe the way people worship, you can already tell how far or how close that certain individual is with the Lord. Because worship can't be faked. Come close. To kiss, you see, bowing down, kneeling, prostrating, lifting up our hands. It's no longer a routine, but a response of the people of God when He speaks. That's true worship. Someone once said this, it is a serious mistake to be so preoccupied with living for God as to not have time for living with God. Adoring Him, listening to Him, worshiping Him, and consciously resting in His love. Let me say that God doesn't desire worship because He needs it. He doesn't desire worship because He's insecure or narcissistic. God desires worship because He knows what worship will do to you. You understand? Worship is reciprocal, which means whatever you behold in God in worship gets unlocked in you. Whatever you see in Him in worship, you actually become. Because we become whom we behold. What are we beholding this morning? Who are we beholding this morning? Whatever you are acknowledging in God, you have the opportunity to access and release on the earth. As we behold who Jesus is and as we sense what He's saying and what He's doing, then we can release that reality of heaven within the earth. Can somebody say amen? And that's what prophecy is. It's hearing what God is saying. It's seeing what God is doing and releasing it into earth's reality. Okay? That's prophetic worship and intercession. Things move. Things get released when we sing and worship prophetically right from the heart of the throne of God. And so if we want to see heaven come to earth, we should establish the same atmosphere conditions. In other words, every time we read about heaven, worship is going on up there. Day and night, night and day, the elders are bowing down. Angels are crying out, holy, holy, holy. Worship is happening all the time in heaven. So what is one of the greatest ways to bring heaven to earth? It is to establish the same atmosphere on earth as in heaven, worship. Prophetic worship. Do you realize that as worshipers, we're not just singing about God. We're actually acknowledging the attributes of heaven. But as prophetic worshipers, we're not just acknowledging the attributes of heaven. Now we're accessing it and pulling it down into earth's realm. That's what being a prophetic worshiper is. That's why the scriptures tells us to speak to one another in songs, in hymns, in psalms, in spiritual songs. So the next time you talk to one another, sing to one another. You know, this is really powerful. We had a prayer meeting one time and we're ministering to this lady. And my other prayer partner, she felt so led to sing to this lady. And I tell you what, she can't even sing. I mean, honestly, she was a bit tone deaf and out of pitch, you know. But she started singing this song prophetically to this lady as she was ministering and praying for her. And she sang the song, In His Time. You know the song? In His Time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. And so she sang it in an off-pitch manner. But I tell you what, that lady was so ministered to her. She began to cry. She wept and she wept and she wept because she was going through a situation, and as she sang, In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. You know, something was broken in this lady's life and it brought so much healing to her. So it doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. Minister to one another in psalms, in songs, in spiritual songs. Amen. We can all practice this during lunch later. So you're having lunch, just sing to one another. Why does the sun go on shining? Okay, never mind. Now, let's talk real quickly about worship and prophetic worship. Now, let me define that and establish it. Worship comes from my heart, my mind, my spirit to God. So worship is ascending. It's going up, okay? Prophetic worship is God's heart, God's mind, and God's spirit coming down to us and through us. It's descending. So worship, like I said earlier on, is reciprocal. It shouldn't be a one-way traffic. Okay, spontaneous worship, the kind of worship that brings life and change atmospheres, not just in church services like this, but in your homes, in your households, in your businesses, in your marketplace, in your companies. It's the kind of worship that ascends, and it's the kind of worship that descends. So worship is my heart, my mind, my spirit ascending up, celebrating who God is. And at the same time, when that happens, as we are truly worshiping the Lord, adoring Jesus, the beauty of His holiness, then He begins to pour down His heart, His mind, His spirit to us. And then we release it out of our mouths, whether it's through intercession or through songs that we sing prophetically. That's what brings change. That's what releases heaven, because our hearts have now become one with the Lord's heart. Our agenda has now become one with the Lord's purposes. Amen. You know, in a prayer meeting one time, I was leading worship and I was on my guitar and I was just leading people, the assembly, into worship. And as we're worshiping, there was such an intensity of the presence of God in our midst. You know, I saw a vision of Lazarus being unbound with his grave clothes. And as I saw that, then the Lord opened up my ears and I heard a melody in heaven. And so what I did was I sang prophetically over the people because I really felt God wanted to set some people free. And so as I'm worshiping, I hear this melody, this tune in my spirit, and I see this picture of Lazarus being unbound off his grave clothes. I began to sing prophetically into the atmosphere because I believe that's what God wanted to do. Now, of course, I can't repeat that song because it was prophetic. So I can't repeat the song now, but you know, essentially, I was singing a song of deliverance. Okay, so it probably went something like, you know, God wants to set people free, and you know, there is freedom to dance again, there is freedom to have joy again, there is freedom to, you know, and I was singing that. As I was singing it, I tell you what, deliverances started happening all across the hall. No one went around praying for people. No one laid hands for deliverance or inner healing. But people were getting set free. There were manifestations that were happening. People were vomiting at the sights. You know, and honestly, as the pastor and the worship leader then, I wanted to say over the microphone to tell my leaders, let them be. Nobody goes around to pray for them. Because in my spirit, the Lord said to me, let me move sovereignly. I will minister to my people. And so I wanted to say verbally to my leaders, everybody, leaders, do not go around to lay hands or to assist. Let the Holy Spirit move. But I felt in my heart I didn't need to say that because I felt like everybody heard the same thing. And nobody moved. Like, none of my leaders went around to assist or to provide some kind of help, you know, or to pray and lay hands. None of them moved. We were all so engrossed in worship. People vomiting, some screaming there, you know, but we were all just beholding Jesus. Now, at the end of that prayer meeting, I gathered my leaders for a debrief. And I asked them, you know, I said, what did you feel? What were you sensing? And everyone said the same thing. When someone started screaming at the back, we wanted to go and pray for the person. But the Lord said to us, do not move. I will minister to my people. Then I realized, gosh, when heaven's atmosphere invades earth, there is a supernatural unity that comes. God binds our hearts and our spirits as one. We're all hearing the same things from heaven. We're all hearing the same voice from God. So none of my leaders budged. They didn't move because every one of us heard the same word from the Lord. Do not move. Do not go assist because I will minister. And that's what prophetic worship does. You hear from the Lord, you release it into the atmosphere, things move. Because one word from God is better than 1,000 words from men. I pray that you didn't come to church today to hear 1,000 words from my sermon, but you've come today with hunger and desperation to say, God, I need a living, spoken, rhema word from heaven. We gotta say, God, unblock our ears. And not just during sermon time, but even in worship. You know, I tell you what, I used to be a worship leader. I tell people I am a worship leader. I am not a cheerleader. Which means I shouldn't be having to, come on everybody, lift your hands. Come on everybody, clap. Come on everybody, lift your voices. Come on everybody, jump. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't have pom-poms in my hands. I'm a worship leader. Listen, we don't do artists on this stage. We do priests. We don't do performers on this stage. We do worshipers. And it's not just here, but down on the floor as well. We're all called to be worshipers. True worshipers who knows how to worship God in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit and truth. Come on. I tell you, there is going to be a great conflict at the end of the age, waged between two global worship movements. The Holy Spirit is raising up the most powerful worship and prayer movement that will contend against the Antichrist worship movement and his persecutions. Satan knows the power of music. Don't forget, he used to be the worship leader in heaven. He had flutes and timbrels, cymbals built inside of him. So Satan knows, the devil knows very well the influence and the power of music. He knows that an entire music can shape a generation. It can influence and shape culture and entire societies. And I tell you that Satan has perverted music. He's now using music, demonic worship, to seduce people into darkness throughout the ages. He's perverted music. In his assault against God's kingdom and his influence, influencing scores of people with false prophetic music. I mean, today we have something called sound healing. It's new age. People pay a lot of money to do sound healing, where they lie down on a mat and this healer goes around with gongs and cymbals and just, you know, tap on frequencies of sound waves so that there's inner peace that comes into your soul. That's new age. It's a cultic. It's a false prophetic kind of worship that Satan is using to shape a whole generation. However, a paralleling of the rise of this demonic worship movement will be the rise of a global worship movement that will be very instrumental to ushering back the second coming of Jesus Christ. Come on. And as we approach the return of Christ on earth, I believe there will be an intensifying of the Spirit's work in releasing his songs through us, the redeemed of the Lord, as God's treasury of music opens up and is being released to the body of Christ. Come on, hear the sounds of heaven. Hear the frequencies of heaven. You know, God sings. He's a beautiful singer. Do you know God sings over you? You don't even know it. He sings over your family, your children. There are songs of the Lord. There are mornings I wake up and there is a chorus that's ringing in my spirit. Because I believe God sings and he ministers over me when I'm sleeping at night. And when I wake up in the morning, there are songs of the Lord. And that song becomes my song for the day. I'm just meditating on the song of the Lord, the song of the Lord, the new song that he sings over me. And I believe many of you will come into such encounters as well. There will be mornings where you wake up with a chorus in your heart or a spontaneous prophetic song that God sings over you. It's going to bring change. It's going to shift things in your life. You know, there are many examples in the Bible I can quote regarding prophetic worship and how God moves through prophetic worship. I'll quote you three. David, remember David when he plays the harp? Saul, when God sent a distressing spirit to come upon Saul. But every time David plays prophetically on his instrument, the harp, the distressing spirit upon Saul would leave. Look at 1 Samuel 16. Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he plays it with his hand, the distressing spirit from God is upon you, you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." I'm going to go down now to verse 22. Then Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, the distressing spirit, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. That's prophesying with your instrument. It's very powerful. I mean, I've been in worship services where, you know, the keyboardist hears a sound from heaven. This is not in their worship set of chorus or tune or chords to play, you know, but she hears something from heaven and she starts playing on the keys. And that set of melody, that set of tune brings change in the atmosphere. Something shifts. I've been to meetings where the drummer hears from heaven and he starts playing out of the set, the routine set. And, you know, he starts playing what he hears from heaven. And I tell you, it's been so powerful. There are angels that are released in prophetic worship. Ministering spirits that are released in prophetic worship. How about Elisha, who requested for a prophetic singer to sing in order that he might prophesy to the king of Israel? I mean, you're talking about Elisha, a man who had received a double portion anointing from Elijah. And here he needed a prophetic singer to sing so that he can prophesy to the king of Israel. Because why? Prophetic worship releases the spirit of prophecy. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It reveals Christ. There's a revelation of Jesus. Look at 2 Kings 3. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father. Go to the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts live, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he prophesied. Prophetic worship, it releases the spirit of prophecy. How about King Jehoshaphat, who went into battle? He put the prophetic singers, the musicians in front. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and they were singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were all defeated. Prophetic songs, frequencies of heaven, releases God to move on our behalf. We're going to see the tabernacle of David restored in our days. There were seven dwelling places of God in the Old Testament. You had the tabernacle of Moses, temple of Solomon, so on and so forth. But God says, I will come and rebuild the ruins of the tent of David. Look at Amos 9:11. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down and repaired its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. What did the tent and the tabernacle of David signify? I'll tell you what it signifies. Day and night and day, prayer and worship movement. Prophetic musicians, prophetic singers, prophetic intercessors who came together around the ark day and night, night and day. The ministry, they were just ministering to the Lord in prophetic worship and in intercession. And you know what? God's reestablishing that in our days. Haven't we heard of universities and colleges having worship revivals? Non-stop worship. Young people, they don't care about fancy buildings and great programs. They want the authentic presence of God. And we're hearing these young people just day and night, night and day, unceasing worship that just cannot stop. David understood the reality of the Spirit manifesting his power through prophetic worship. In fact, his revelation of heavenly worship is seen everywhere in the book of Psalms. And it is foundational to his political throne. In other words, David's government flowed from prophetic worship and intercession. And God's reestablishing that in his house, in his government, prophetic worship and prayer. The nations are now worshiping on a level never seen before in the history of the world. Everywhere that I go to preach, I'm seeing God raise up a remnant of people who can't care less about anything else but to have a heart of worship, true worship towards the Lord. There is a love sickness that has come upon the remnant of the bride of Christ, who's so longing for our beloved, so longing for our bridegroom king, who sings Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We're desirous for you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For until and unless you come, nothing will ever be made right. And there is a resounding cry that's rising up to the throne of God. Everywhere I go in the nations of the world to preach, to do ministry, I'm hearing this sound rising up to heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Hasten the day of your coming. I pray you catch the heart of this. I pray, Cornerstone, we don't miss out and miss the point. God bless great buildings. God bless great congregations and large congregations and fantastic programs and plays and all these things that we do in the church. But we're not smart, crafty, wise, rich enough to bring true transformation. We're absolutely dependent on the presence of God. Absolutely dependent. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. God says, my name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. I tell you what, this kind of worship is the kind of aroma that's carrying faith, that's carrying hope, life, healing to all who hear it. It is not just some orderly church songs that we sing in perfect sequence and in perfect pitch. It is this wild, spontaneous, prophetic roar of violent love and affection carrying new authority, releasing fresh passion and hunger in the church. And so very quickly, I want to tell you what prophetic worship releases. Three things. Number one, prophetic worship releases the promise of his presence. The restoration of David's tabernacle is an invitation to every people group, to every culture, to every nation to enter into the promise of God's presence. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, God has been longing to restore that place of true communion and unity with him. Isaiah 66 and verse 1, he says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Again, Jesus comes on this earth. He reiterates this in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You see, when we invite the move of God in our lives, in our homes, In our services, we must understand that when God comes, He doesn't come to fit into our schedules. He comes to completely take over. When we invite God to come and rest in our midst, to make Cornerstone a place of His habitation of glory, listen, we are essentially saying, God, we will relinquish our control freak mentality. We are giving you an all access pass to completely rearrange our lives and our services. And I think the question to ask ourselves here is, are we willing to do that? We hosted a meeting in Miri last year. We had Reverend Suzette Hatting come as our guest speaker. She was going to teach on prayer and intercession. It was a prayer school. During the night session, something really precious happened. There was such an intensity of worship. People were breaking out in prophetic songs. I mean, we're talking songs that are not part of the song lyrics, the set list that we're singing, but people all across, not just the worship ministry, but people on the floors. I mean, people were releasing sounds and songs and melodies and, you know, spontaneous lyrics. It was so intense. And God was moving in such a sovereign way. I didn't know what to do, honestly. I was the hosting pastor. I thought to myself, people have flown from KL to be here. People have flown from Sabah to be here to listen to Suzette Hatting teach on prayer and intercession. What am I going to do? Am I going to let the Holy Spirit continue to move in such a way like that? Or am I going to just stop it and just get Suzette to come and teach? I was in a dilemma. I let it go on for a bit more. I myself was wrecked. You know, I'm just like, man, I can just go on in this worship for the rest of my life together with the saints of God. Anyways, after a while, I thought, you know what? People have come to hear Suzette Hatting. So I took the mic. I know some of you are shaking your heads. Put yourselves in my position. What would you do? I came up on the stage and I said, I closed in prayer and all that. And I said, you know, I know we can go on and on in worship in this place. Something supernatural and precious is happening here. But I know that many of you have flown in to listen to Reverend Suzette Hatting. And so I'm going to hand her the time to do her teaching. Suzette comes on stage and she says this. Well, I will, you know, if you know Suzette Hatting, she's this huge, tall, you know, German, South African woman with a lioness mane. So she comes on the stage and she's like, I will preach and I will teach. She says, but I want to now teach you a lesson before I go into my teaching. And she says this, I don't know if you realize, but what happened tonight in worship, you have literally created a zone, a glory zone, not just here in Miri, Sarawak, but it has gone into Malaysia. She said, in my spirit, the demons in West Malaysia are perking up their ears. They have turned their faces towards this hall tonight, right here, as worship is ascending to heaven. She says, the demons in KL, the demons in Sabah, the demons in the west of Malaysia, they have turned their faces to watch what's happening in this place right here. And then she says, I want to teach you a lesson, because if you continued in worship tonight, revival would have broken out in this place. You know, I wept. I'm just like, God, it's something that I'm still learning, really. I mean, when the Spirit of God moves, what do you do? People have come to hear the word. People have come to hear the preaching. People have come to hear the guest speaker. But then we say, God will make room for you. Spirit of God, make room. We make room. We make room. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And then He really comes. And then we're like, okay, people have flown. They bought air tickets to come here to hear this woman teach. And then we hijacked it. I wept. I tell you, I was so broken because I could feel it. I knew that if we continued in worship, man, revival would have broken out in that place. We've got to catch the sound waves of heaven. We've got to catch the frequencies of heaven. We say, God, come, make this place a dwelling place. Do we mean that? What if He comes and completely ruins our service flows? What if this service went on for 4 hours? Would you be bored? Would you be looking at your watches and like, why is this service taking so long? And then some of you writing to Pastor Young emails. Pastor Young, ever since Pastor Sebi started preaching, the services are getting longer and longer. I don't know. I'm just like, God, I'm complete. I want to be completely dependent on you. Because my responsibility is to carry heaven's waves to the people of God. What's the point of you coming to church, hearing a good sermon, and then leaving with your lives not touched? Don't you want God to invade? Don't you want God to bring revival to this place? To revive dead hearts? To awaken real, authentic, genuine zeal for His house and His presence? Many churches today, fellowships and ministries across the world are barren, devoid of the true presence and power of God. Why? Because we're just simply not willing to make room to receive our King. Even though our churches have large congregations, amazing programs, great sounding bands, stunning buildings, big budgets, decent coffee even, if we don't have the presiding presence of His glory, then it's all for nothing. A dying world, listen, does not need our fancy buildings and programs. A dying world needs to experience a life-altering encounter where people are marked by the glory of His presence residing amongst us. The greatest opportunity is before the church right now as we continue to gather corporately to stoke the fire of prophetic worship in our midst. Amen. And so I want to encourage you here in Cornerstone Orchard, every time we gather in a manner like this, the assembly of the saints of God, that's what marks the difference, by the way, between coming physically to church and watching online. It's encounters with God. It's that corporate fanning and stroking of the flames of fire together, where it releases heaven's atmosphere that cannot go into screens. You've got to be right there in that place to catch it in the Spirit of God. I want to encourage you, Cornerstone, every time we praise, when we worship, have the freedom to express your worship to the Lord. You want to come to the front? You want to come to the front and kneel and bow and prostrate? Go ahead. Let's not be dignified. Let's not be too, statured. Amen. David says, I'll be even more undignified than this. When you touch the raw presence of God, the glory of God, the joy of the Lord that fills your heart, I don't know how people can just stand mobile. I have a joke, I tell people, those who like to stand mobile stationary when they worship, I tell them, I know what's your favorite song. Your favorite song is, I will not be moved. Come on, have the freedom to express your worship and your adoration to the Lord. Let's fan and stroke the fire of prophetic worship together as a congregation. Amen? It's not just the worship team's responsibility, it's everyone's responsibility. Imagine a robust, vibrant, spontaneous roar of worship ascending from this house to the throne of God. Wow. Number two, prophetic worship releases an environment of creativity, spontaneity, and prophecy. Creativity is a prophetic act in that where we take something from the unseen realm and make it manifest in the seen realm. So creativity is a form of prophecy. Many of the songs recorded in the book of Psalms were birthed from this place of unending night and day, day and night worship. It was the artistic epicenter of fresh creativity for the culture of that day. The whole book of Psalms. In fact, in the book of Psalms, when you read the chapters, you will see this word Selah. Selah means pause and meditate on this. Stop and think about this. I believe that part of the word Selah written there was to create room for the prophetic to flow. So it was like the psalmist who wrote these choruses and these songs, these psalms, they saw in advance prophetically, you know what, when we sing this part, when we sing this chorus, when we sing this heaven birth lyrics, it's going to bring change to people's lives. It's going to do something in the spirit. So let's Selah here and have them pause and meditate on that, because it's going to shift things. That's what Selah means. David released prophetic songs that foretold and prophesied major coming events in the history of the world. One of the many examples is in Psalm chapter 22, where David sings prophetically, speaks prophetically about the very words that Jesus Christ would utter when He hung on that cross some 1,500 years later. Think about that. What a prophetic zone they were caught up in. This clearly depicts an atmosphere that was pregnant with revelation, conducive to steward fresh downloads from heaven, while faithful musicians kept the fire burning on the altars. So prophetic worship creates realities on earth as it is in heaven. It releases change. It announces and prophesies a new day. It shifts mindsets. It carries heaven's agenda and heaven's intentions to create something in our midst that we can see in advance that is not yet. That's what prophetic worship does. Number three, prophetic worship releases a returning to our first love to God. One of the most beautiful aspects of this Davidic restoration encompassing the earth is the call for the bride to return to her first love. At times, I believe that we have become so crafty with our knowledge, our programs, our resources, our methods in the church, that it has become easy to forget and even silence the cry of first love for our God that's deep in our hearts. In many ways, we have built a model, a machine of a church that can actually run quite smoothly, while neglecting the cost of cultivating true intimacy and dependency with God. And in this season of expansion, church, in this season of kingdom dominion across the earth, Cornerstone, we cannot afford to be a people or a church that forsakes the first love, as was spoken against the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Prophetic worship releases a first love in our hearts for our bridegroom. That love sickness in our hearts for God and His presence. I believe there is a call from the Song of Solomon chapter 2 to come higher and to go deeper. Higher places, deeper places in His presence. No longer are services and ministries being driven alone by charismatic personalities and gifted ministers, but by the atmosphere of corporate worship, of corporate hunger and desire for God. And it is going to place a demand on heaven. Extraordinary miracles, genuine salvations, healings, open visions, dreams, and encounters will become commonplace when this happens. A transition is taking place, and it is shifting in the global church. The focus and the attention is now shifting from receiving from the man of God to now pouring out our love, pouring out our adoration, our worship on the person of God, Christ Himself, dwelling in our midst. Stand with me as I come to a close. You know, many of the revivals in the past were singing revivals. There were sounds, rhythms, heavenly melodies that ushered in revivals in the nations. One of which was the Welsh revival. The Welsh revival, until today, it's known as the singing revival. In fact, if you know Kath Woolrich, every time she comes, they make her sing the song, "Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean," in Welsh, right? And it always releases something into the atmosphere. It was the song of that Welsh revival. "Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood." And as they sang that, it drew them to the presence of God. And God responded. It placed a demand on heaven. The Welsh revival lasted for 13 years. And what happened was 300,000 souls were saved in that revival across the nations of the world. In fact, many of the Welsh meetings in those days, actually people broke out in prophetic choruses and songs that brought heaven on earth. Another one is the Moravians. The Moravians had a prayer and worship meeting that lasted for 120 years. Never ceased, never stopped. Herrnhut, Germany. 120 years, prayer and worship, prayer and worship. In fact, they prayed and worshiped. This was an unceasing prayer and worship movement that actually propelled missions. The Moravians, these young people, they would sell themselves into slavery, be in the middle of two slaves, indigenous boys, as they are plowing the fields, hard labor, they are preaching the gospel. In fact, these young Moravians, when they bade their families farewell, and they said this, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the full reward of his suffering." When they made that cry and they waved their families farewell, many of them knew they would never return. Whether they were going to die a martyr's death or they were going to give their lives to the mission fields, they bade their families a good farewell. "May the Lamb who was slain receive the full reward of his suffering." What propelled that? What propelled such zeal? Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. The Moravians. It's a powerful movement that happened many years back. And just as past moves of God's Spirit throughout history were recognized for their unique sound, I believe God is releasing yet again a new and a fresh sound in this place that will usher in the new season on the earth. This emerging sound has less to do with a new style of singing or a new genre of music, but it more accurately represents an awakening of hunger, an awakening of passion and desire from the depths of our hearts. It is a prophetic sound of faith partnering with the heart of God that calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Prophetic worship and intercession. Cornerstone, let's move in that. All across this place, just close your eyes. If you desire that right now in your hearts, in your lives, just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, "God, let the prophetic unction rest upon me. Open my ears. Open my ears to hear the melodies, the songs. The sounds of heaven, the hymns of heaven. What are you saying, God? How are you? What are you doing? How are you moving?" And as we see that happening in heaven, as we hear these sounds of frequencies in heavenly realms, and as we release it here into earth reality, I tell you what, things start to move. Atmosphere starts to shift. And so all across this place, just lift up your hands to the Lord. If you can sing in the Spirit of God, just begin to sing in new tongues. Sing in new tongues. Sing in new tongues. Sing a new song to the Lord. Some of you, God's already opening up your ears. You're hearing beats. You're hearing rhythms. You're hearing sounds, melodies, songs, hymns. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, just release it. Release it into the atmosphere around you. Release it right now. Sing it. Sing it out. Sing it out. Sing it out. Prophesy it out. Prophesy it out. Shataraba kasandara boshande. As Bob leads us, just the spirit of prophecy is in this place. The spirit of prophecy is in this place. Oh, Rashanda la Masanda la Moshanda la Masoterianda la Mando. Oh, Rakayanda la Moshebre te Kataye la Masanda la Mande.
From you are all things, and to you are all things.
voices all across this place. You are worthy, God.
You are worthy of it all.
Oh, a sweet aroma, let it rise, God.
For from you are all things.
To you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
Let us hear the frequencies of heaven. Spiritual sound waves in heaven. Hymns, songs, melodies, rhythms, beats, prophetic declarations and decrees. Let your people hear. And as we hear, God, worship is a response to that. But prophetic worship is a proclamation of that. God, as we release it in our intercession, as we release it in our singing, in our songs, God, would you begin to release heaven's atmosphere in our midst, here in this house, back in our houses and our homes, in our marketplaces, in our companies, in this nation of Singapore. God, altars are being built. Altars of worship, altars of prayer and intercession. God, I thank you. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Jesus, you will be magnified. You will be revealed as we prophesy heaven on earth. And so, Lord, over this congregation, God, we pray, let the prophetic unction rest upon them. Every one of us, God, we pray for the prophetic unction to rest upon us. Open our ears to hear. And for many of us, I pray for encounters. Even as we wake up in the morning, we will wake up with that chorus in our spirit that's ringing, that song of the Lord that's ringing in our hearts because you have been singing over us. God, I thank you, God. Release prophetic worship in this house. Do as only you can do. Let heaven come. Let heaven be established. Let thy kingdom come. Your will be done here in Cornerstone Orchard as it is in heaven. Here in Singapore as it is in heaven. We bless you, God. Let us hear in Jesus' name.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.